1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time now for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine. Interviews with the stars, movie reviews, insight talk, and up-and-coming talent. Everything you want rolled together for the next 2 hours. Topics such as love, family, social talk, fun, leisure, and travel. And that's just for starters. No matter where you are, the magazine has arrived. Now, here are your hosts for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, Dave Isaac and Greg Isaac.
And welcome to the magazine every Thursday, actually, from 2 to 4. And we're excited because it's the holiday season. Greg is smiling. And, of course, Greg is in the studio. And Joseph Iardo. Okay, he was waiting for that.
I heard you last week. You took my spot on that.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I had to.
You weren't here to say.
I feel a million times better, but I want to say I was laughing because my headset was stuck in the microphone. And then it took me about 2 minutes to actually get the thing out.
Oh, similar to Ben Stiller's.
Somewhat similar. Not as painful.
Along Comes
obviously.
Mary or something.
There's something about Mary.
Oh, yeah.
He gets
it
like halfway up.
There's no zipper in the, mushroom zipper. But, yeah, this was this was interesting. Now I realize I have another headset right here.
Yeah, I was wondering why. It looked like you were kissing the microphone.
Well, I am. I mean, Mr. Microphone.
So there we go. But too bad it's called Mike.
Yeah.
It should be Michellophone.
And I just said Mr. Microphone, and then I changed.
No, Miss Michellophone.
There you go. Yeah, we'll call it Michellophone.
Anyway, so, Joseph, did you have a good holiday?
I had an excellent holiday. Thank you very much. How about you?
It was very good. Actually, I saw a movie on that day, Christmas Day.
On Christmas. What time did you see it, out of curiosity?
Well, I tried to get in at around 2:30, and it was, what was it
Sold
called?
Sold out?
Django. Not the Django.
Django Unchained?
Yeah. It was sold out, so I went back like 6:30.
Yeah?
Or something like that.
Okay. Well, that's a popular day for movies, right? That's why, the studios target those days.
Hugely popular. It was the most packed I've ever seen it.
Really?
In the parking lot. I mean, there wasn't one parking space.
Wow.
It was unbelievable during the day. Real popular these days. Probably Disneyland, too.
Probably, yes.
And so I saw that one, and then I also saw Life of Pi.
Yeah, Life of Pi, okay.
And I like pumpkin, and...
I like mincemeat, right?
Really, do you? What do you like?
Yeah, we went over that on the Thanksgiving show.
Yeah, the Thanksgiving show.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We were here slaving away.
That's right, and I saw Jack Reacher.
Well, see, now you saw two of my 5 Zeners and one of the 4 Zeners, so you made good choices. Would you agree?
I'm going to agree with Jack Reacher, 4 zines, a solid 4 zines.
Okay.
Excellent movie, though.
Yeah.
That kept me right on my seat there. Very, very cool. And who's that girl? Very beautiful.
I can't remember her name right now. Whoa. But, yeah, she's been in quite a few things. She's very good. Huh?
Very nice. And then definitely a 5 zener on Django.
Django?
Unchained. Yeah. That was very amazing. Great acting. Jamie Foxx, I thought, did a great job. Of course, Leonardo DiCaprio, always a good job. And the other guy?
Christoph Waltz.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. I really liked it a lot, actually. And although Spike Lee will not see it. And I saw him interview. He will not see it. And it's probably, sadly, somewhat a reflection of those times. And, I mean, it's very... sad. I mean, gruesome. I mean, it was unfortunate. So I thought it was a very well done movie, and I think the crowds are loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good.
Excellent.
Probably no sequel, though.
No, probably not. Yeah, well, actually, I think not the sequel. I think Quentin Tarantino said he's got a longer cut that he's going to release possibly at some point. You know how he likes to tease people.
Really?
Tease his fans. So, yeah. But, of course, he's been teasing us with Kill Bill Volume 3 for, more than 10 years now or whatever. Because I think that, next year was when it's supposed to come out.
Right.
Then it's been 10 years, I think. And,
but the guy died, David Carradine. He died.
Yeah, but now the... Bride Uma Thurman's.
He died in both the movie and real life.
Right, right. But now the daughter of one of Uma Thurman's victims was going to come back and seek revenge upon her. But Quentin Tarantino just says, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of past that.
I like that girl. What's her name? Hannah? No, from Mermaid.
Daryl Hannah?
Oh, I like her. But she died.
Yeah.
Not
I think most
life.
Of them died.
Yeah.
Oh, darn.
Kill Bill, right?
Boomer.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting movie, actually. Yeah. Life of Pi, you gave it 5 scenes.
Yeah.
You know, it was hard for me to say. It was a solid 3 zine, but it could have moved to 5 zines, and I may have to see it again to get the full flavor of that, because
okay.
I wasn't sure, and I won't spoil it for people if they haven't seen it, but it was certainly unique and interesting. And it could have been, I would say, ooh. To me, it got a little slow at the last third.
Yeah.
Did you notice that too?
I didn't think so.
Oh, it seemed the first part was good. It moved quickly. He always seemed to attract.
You thought the first part was moved quickly and everything?
Yeah, I thought that moved pretty quickly. Oh, okay. And especially, it was always attractive to the Babaramas.
Yeah. His girlfriend in that movie was quite cute, right?
Very, very. So
she didn't get enough screen time, though.
Yeah, not at all. And I hope there's another version that they will release, the uncut version. And I think... Wait, did I say uncut or the cut version? Yeah, I guess that's how you say it.
No, uncut.
Uncut?
You saw the cut, the
I saw the cut version.
Yeah,
that's right.
The theatrical cut.
But it was very good. It was good. And probably in my final analysis, I'd probably give it 4 zines because
okay.
of its uniqueness. But I was trying to get that deep meaning somewhere, and I mm-hmm. couldn't. I guess I have to see it again.
But now you get what I was saying about, Richard Parker changing your life.
Oh, yes. Now I get it. Yeah, that was really cool, though. Very interesting, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And I know there was a deep meaning there, and I got a lot of it. And, Greg, you'll have to go to get the second half of the deep meaning.
I will. I'll watch the second half of the movie for
really?
You.
Really? Oh, yeah, there we go. But I'm going to probably see it again, and it could go up to 5 zines.
Okay.
But I'd give it a 4. So you're right on the money, because so far we think alike, because Lincoln, ooh, boo.
Yeah.
Oh, man, boring. I didn't even bother to see The Hobbit. I didn't want to make a Hobbit out of it.
Right. No, that's you've made a very good choice there.
In fact, you know what? Someone I know, I won't say who, so because their significant other could be listening, but this person was texting me from The Hobbit underneath a blanket because they went to one of these special movies,
mm-hmm.
and saying, horrible, but under the blanket. So I texted him back during the movie because I felt bad this person was stuck in a 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
So I text her about a half hour. I go, well, don't make this a Hobbit. But she did not. She couldn't relate.
No.
Some people, got good reviews. I mean, some people like it, and some people don't. What can you do?
I think it's one of those things where if you're into those stories, you may love it, but if you're not, it's tough,
Well, I didn't get Lord of the Rings. I was not a big fan of.
No,
I wasn't either, but I kind of understood it more than The Hobbit. I mean, understood the appeal, not understood the movie. I don't know how much there is to understand about a bunch of... I don't know how people, how grown men find that entertaining. I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry. Again, we're going to get with the hate mail. But I watched that, and it's like he watched maybe Ren and Stimpy or something like that. If you're a grown person, find a little more amusement out of, I just don't see it.
Yeah, very, very strange. And but I, those 3 were good. I'm looking forward to see The Impossible.
Yeah.
How do you say it?
Les Mis.
Possibly. I'm not. You gave it 5 zines.
I gave it 5 zines. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so I'm, and then of
I think it might be one of the Oscar movies. It was number 1 on Christmas. It broke. Broke the record for the highest single day.
Wow.
Gross for a musical.
Even Djangled? Wow. It beat out.
Well, no,
Django?
For a musical. It beat out Django on
it
Christmas.
Did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's really.
Yeah, I think Django was number 2.
But, wow.
Yeah, they're probably close, but musicals, it's tough.
Yeah.
But I forget
must be
what
really
was,
good then.
Yeah. Oh, it's excellent. I forget what was the next highest musical. I can't remember.
Probably Grease.
No, it was something more recent. It might have been Mamma Mia or something.
Oh, Mamma Mia.
Possibly.
Oh, I
don't
like
really
that.
Or Chicago.
Might have been. No, I don't think it was Chicago, but I don't know. Moulin Rouge. I mean, it wasn't,
it
wasn't
that
either,
one.
But that's an excellent movie.
Right.
Wow. So some good ones. So then tomorrow I will catch This Is 40. So you good. Gave it a three zine.
That's
think.
A three zine, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Oh, I did see a Paul Rudd movie. You know, ever since you guys mentioned Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
Apatow.
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 Tomato, tomato.
Just like when you mentioned Kevin Smith, all I've been recognizing is right, Kevin right. Smith stuff and now Judd Apatow and Wonderlust.
Yeah, I like that movie.
Pretty
yeah.
good movie. I liked it. And yeah. it was good. So, and he had something to do with that one. I don't think he directed or he might have produced
he was,
it.
I think he was a producer. Yeah. He's a producer on a lot of
Boy,
the,
he's
yeah,
done
comedies.
A lot, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of stuff. And so all these behind-the-scenes guys, it's interesting.
Yeah, and keep mm-hmm. in mind, anyone who's with who has money out there, Judd Apatow's waiting to make that Pee-wee Herman movie, Pee-wee's Playhouse, with Paul Reubens. So if you've got money and you want to put your money into a great investment, you know, that's waiting to get paid for.
And we'll interview you on the magazine show.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, added plus, right?
Yeah. So there we are. So I've seen some of the movies. I didn't see what's other three zine. Oh, Guilt Trip did not Guilt see Trip. That. That mm-hmm. was sold out. So I guess that might be doing fairly well. A lot of movie releases. Mm-hmm. Do they plan it wrong because they're competing against each other? Shouldn't they stagger it?
No, they like to have a lot of choices for people over the holidays. I mean, especially you know, there was a
and
lot
and they
of
did. Oh yeah, more so yeah. than I can remember in the past. All these choices, incredible.
Well, I thought it was amazing. You mentioned that there, a couple of them were sold out. So
yeah, mm-hmm. the Guilt Trip know. And yeah. Django,
and that's Seth Rogen, correct?
The yes, Seth
and
yeah,
Barbara
yeah.
Streisand. Oh, yeah, that okay. looks. That's probably that was three funny. Zines. I'm sure yeah. that's good too.
It's okay, yeah. It's
good. And the two zingers, I forgot.
I forget the two.
Yeah, the
Hyde
two
Park
zings.
On Hudson. Remember, you thought that was
oh,
going to be
that?
No.
Yeah, I lost on that one.
Yeah,
darn.
Not on that one. I forget if they're two zines or less, we usually forget yeah. them unless they're named Lincoln.
Oh, yeah, exactly. that's a one to half a zine. Okay.
Yeah.
And there we go. So, but I did enjoy all three of those. Jack Reacher, highly recommend. Mm-hmm. Django definitely, and the pie. What's it called?
Life of Pi.
Life of Riley. Yeah, that one too. There we
Very
go.
Good.
And that's
Very
my
good.
Analysis. How about you, Greg? What's your analysis?
I probably would. Well, you know what though? Like I was saying, I think it was off the air. I think the last movie I've seen is the last Twilight. So
yeah, that's
you know, it's been you know about a month or so. So
don't take any of my suggestions to you, Greg. So nope. disappointed.
I just haven't had a chance to. But tomorrow I actually with Dave we'll be seeing This Is 40. So
okay.
you know, so there's.
Yeah,
one movie coming up, but hopefully in the new year I could get to the movies a little more.
Yeah, there are a lot of they'll
there's
still
a
be
resolution.
I have you know I'll still Redbox it a bit. Last night we actually rented The Watch, and it was terrible.
You didn't like The Watch?
I did not. I love Jonah Hill, Vince wow. Vaughn, Ben Stiller, and I thought as individuals they were sort of funny, but the movie in general, maybe part of it was I was tired already. But I just wasn't into it as much as I would have thought, especially with three of my favorite actors in it.
I was laughing hysterically
really?
In that one. Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
The critics hated it alongside me, but I thought it was great.
Guess who was
there
in
There were some funny
Django,
moments,
though.
But who?
Jonah Hill.
Yeah, briefly, yes.
Oh,
wasn't
really?
That scene was hilarious.
It was weird.
Think?
Yeah, that was funny.
There's a scene with people with bags on their heads.
It was two
Jonah Hills.
Worth yeah. seeing the movie, wow. that scene alone.
Well, I think because of that, I'll be there.
Oh, well, yeah. either way, it's a great movie.
It's a long scene. It's definitely a Quentin Tarantino-type scene. Where
I go, what's he doing in there?
Yeah.
And he was so out of character. He wasn't what he...
Right.
And he did very nicely, though.
Yes.
He did
wow.
a great job. That was a funny scene, right?
Yes, it was a very, very
hysterical.
Very funny scene.
I think people like it despite Spike Lee not wanting to see it. Well,
he only made one movie this year and it was terrible. So
I mean, what can you do? But
right.
I thought it was very good. So we have what do we have today?
We have my top 10 list.
Oh my gosh! No
this
way!
Is, and so you know, and you might have seen some of these on this list, and you. If you haven't, I recommend that you write these down
yeah.
and see them because, you know, now here's my approach to the top 10 list.
For 2012.
For 2012,
okay.
yes. It's not of all time. You know, it's probably in the, top 100 or so, top 200. I mean, I've seen a lot of movies. But my approach to the top 10 list is not these are not the best movies. These are not what I think is going to be, you know, have the Academy Awards at the end of the year or
right.
at the beginning of next year or whatever it is. But these are the movies that spoke to me, that made a difference in my life. Now they might have changed my life and inspired me in some way. They might have moved me. They might have just made me, you know, so entertained that I had this gigantic smile spread across my face for the 2-hour runtime.
But they could be Academy Award worthy
they could.
Too.
There are a few that okay. you know could pop up there. But I'm saying that some of these are not your conventional movies, and it's always been like that. I mean, I like some strange movies, but that's again how we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. Movies talk to different people differently, right?
True.
I mean, so these might talk to you. I guarantee that you will have a good time watching any of these movies. Now, mm-hmm. you might watch these and say, well, how does that belong on a top 10 list? I don't know. But, you know, keep in mind, these are my favorite
gotcha.
Flicks of 2012. These, you know, and I'll tell you a little bit about how they moved me.
Oh,
on,
good.
And we have a few interview clips and stuff spread out throughout these
oh,
as well
excellent.
That I conducted throughout the year as well.
And did you review these for one of your for Examiner
yeah,
or
these
AZ
were all,
Weekly?
All except for one of these movies. One of them I only saw on DVD after it had already come out. And I'll tell you about that one when we get to it. I think it's like
excellent.
Number 5 or something.
So you're going to start with
six,
the 10th?
Yeah, we'll go from 10 down to 1.
Ooh,
and
excellent.
So, you know, it's hey, New Year's, right? I mean,
yeah.
I like to watch the ball drop. Do you?
Yeah, 10, 9, 8 all
yeah.
the time. And and then watch CNN because you have Anderson Cooper with some girl that's going to be doing the New Year's Eve. So it looked funny.
Yeah, I think
he's pretty good,
Kathy,
Anderson Cooper.
Gifford, I think.
No, it's not Kathy.
No,
is that
not?
Kathy?
I think so. The redhead.
How's Kathy Gifford?
I think so, with Anderson Cooper. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
We'll have
to
Google
so.
That. Tommy, can you Google that? Who Anderson Cooper is going to be on New Year's Eve? I think it's Kathy someone, but Kathy Gifford is a lot
oh, not
older.
Oh, Kathy Gifford. The
yeah.
Ryan Seacrest in
yeah.
a wig.
No. Yeah, it is Ryan Seacrest. No, Kathy Chris,
is yeah, it Kathy Griffin?
Yeah, yeah, the
oh,
one
yeah,
with the red
it.
Hair.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
K,
so you
I
don't
was
have
thinking
to
KG, so, you know.
It would look funny, though.
I had the face, but...
he's very good. You like Anderson Cooper?
Yeah, he's good.
He's
yeah.
all right. I liked him better when he was hosting The Mole, that
I don't
reality
that.
Show several years ago.
I liked him when he was in the middle of a hurricane. He does that a
that
lot.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. He's actually pretty good. Okay, so number 10. I'm so excited.
Yes, number 10. Okay, so you mentioned this movie a little bit earlier. Its title is The Impossible. Yes. So
oh,
this,
so that's a recent one that made your
yes.
list.
Yes, and I'll tell you whether you could see these in theaters or when they're going to come out on DVD or if they are already on DVD. So again,
yeah.
write these down. You're definitely going to want to see these. The Impossible. To remind you what this is about, it's Naomi Watts and Ewan McGregor play parents who, with their three sons, are relaxing around a pool during a winter vacation in Thailand when a terrifying roar rises up from the center of the earth and a huge wall of black water races toward them. A tsunami. This is based on the 2004 tsunami in Thailand. Wow, this is just such a disturbing movie to watch. Very, very difficult to watch. As you can imagine, I mean, not most of the movie, but a large portion of the movie, maybe 30 minutes, is basically Naomi Watts and one of her sons in the water being rushed away.
Yeah,
that is, and it's there's. She's got blood hanging off on her, off of her, her skin coming off of her leg, and she's trying to take care of her son. Her son is trying to get back to her, and then you've got Ewan McGregor on the other side of Thailand. You know, is he alive or is he dead? How about the other two kids? Very, very upsetting to watch, but so very rewarding as well.
How did it move you?
It moved me because eventually. Basically, it just tells you that no matter how grim the circumstances look that the tides will or can change, and they probably will. The tides can turn in life, no matter the circumstance. At some point during the midpoint or the end of this movie, it's just so inspiring the way that this family is overcoming this terrible, terribly tragedy, and so you know that's how it moved me. That you know it's. It reminded me that in my own times of trouble, you know, hey, you never know what God has planned, what the universe can plan for us.
See, that's good. I like that. That means don't give up.
Absolutely.
That means sort of like this too shall pass, right?
Yes, and what could be more challenging than a tsunami that, you know, basically takes your family and tears it into two parts and then to three parts. And
Oof.
Yeah.
Well said. I like that. So this is a five zener, though.
Yes, it is. It is a five. All of these, every single movie on this top 10 list is a five zine movie. That means that each of these movies have the IARDO stamp of approval.
Wow,
we're coining that term now.
Or right? IARDO.
So, Well,
IARDO. Erdo.
Yeah.
IARDO.
They've all got.
I let
whatever.
You do that one.
Wow! But, so yeah. All five zines, and
yes.
That means Twilight will not be on.
Twilight won't be on the list.
That was a four.
It was a four.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. And now these aren't. You know, again, I had more than 10 five zines. So
that,
for all the people who thought that I, you know, gave most movies two zines, I had at least 20 movies that had five zines this year. You can't give them all five zines, right?
Well, unless you multiply Lincoln times five.
Yeah, well, I think if I watched Lincoln five times, I think that I wouldn't be. It still wouldn't get a five.
No, it'd probably go down in reverse.
Negative five.
Ooh.
All
okay,
right.
Number so nine.
That was number 10. Number nine, we have Robot and Frank. Hmm. Frank Langella plays a retired cat burglar whose two grown kids, played by Liv Tyler and James Marsden, are concerned he can no longer live alone. They are tempted to place him in a nursing home until one of them buys him a walking, talking humanoid robot, voiced by Peter Sarsgaard, programmed to improve his physical and mental health. So, again, basically, Frank Langella, aging, and so can he take care of himself? His two grown children buy him this robot to take care of him. Instead of a real person, they buy him this robot.
Hmm.
And so can he relate with this robot? Can it take care of him? Can it improve his life as well? And it most certainly does. And it's one of the year's most human movies. I mean, in spite of the fact that it's called Robot and Frank, and it has one, you know, basically two characters here for most of the movie. Susan Sarandon's in it as well.
Oh.
I'd say that. But, you know, most of the movie is Frank Langella and this robot, again voiced by Peter Sarsgaard. But it has very visionary ideas about technology that stimulates your brain. It also touches your heart. It really moved me in the fact that you don't have to. It can be an inanimate object.
Yeah.
that really touches your life. It doesn't have to be another human being. It could be, you know. It's strange to explain how a robot can really change someone's life, and
by its actions, perhaps.
It's kind of an internal reflection. It's not so much the robot, how it treats, you know, because it's just a robot. It's got this very monotone thing, but it's how Frank Langella's character interacts with the robot and how
gotcha.
He sees, you know, kind of like a mirror, you know, one of those
sure.
kind of things. So it's
wow.
kind of like when we see animals, when we have pets, it's
yeah.
not so much the pet doing it, it's the pet's comfort, and we see, you know, our own emotions in that pet, and kind of reflects back at us.
Totally makes sense. Yeah. I did not see that movie, Greg.
No, I haven't seen that.
It definitely got to seek it out, and I think that Frank Langella was number two on my nominations for the Phoenix Film Critics Society Best Actor in a Leading Role.
Oh.
Yeah, he's very good in this. And by the way, Naomi Watts from The Impossible, she was my number two choice for
Ooh.
Best Actress in a Leading Role.
Nice. Now, what moved you about Robot and Frank?
Just what I was saying about the reflecting our own emotions in something that you wouldn't ordinarily see as be able to do that.
Excellent.
You know, so just kind of like look all around you for inspiration. But the cool thing in here is that I got to interview the director.
Oh, okay.
His name is Jake Schreier. I believe that's how you pronounce it. And I got a chance to ask him about the film. And so I brought a clip from my interview that I conducted earlier this year. And this is what he had to say. You know, I asked him about the science fiction aspect of it. And this is what he said about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we never really thought of it necessarily as a science fiction film. I mean, I suppose like any good science fiction film, I mean, you're always just trying to deal with characters. I mean, these robots are something real that's being developed, you know, and so we wanted to set it in a really relatable world that would feel familiar, you know, and connected. And there's also kind of just a part of the visual theme is that you've got this rural environment with this old man, and there's this very clean piece of technology that enters into his world and kind of, you know, it's like an incursion upon it. So there's a justification. You don't really want too much of the rest of the future to be around him. Just little hints of it you know, so that you have that kind of visual contrast set up in his world. You know, we're just trying to raise a lot of issues that we've all been talking about anyway, about, you know, there's issues about technology and the way it changes our interactions, and there's also stuff about what it means to be aging and the way we treat people who are aging, and, you know, whether we take them seriously, and, like, could an odd way be a better friend to a man who's aging than people for a time, and, like, could it teach him something?
Yeah, and I don't really like science fiction films. Do you guys?
Nah, not too
what
much.
Would that, yeah. What would a science fiction film be like?
Well, I know you like Star Trek.
I like Star Trek.
Yes, right. I'm not into that. I don't really look forward to... I mean, Prometheus earlier this year I thought was quite terrible. I just never look forward to these. And when I got the screener for Robot and Frank, I was just, oh, here we go with one of these science fiction, you know, strange movies.
Right.
But it was just, it was so moving. It was so inspiring. Mm. It was not your typical science fiction film because it as he said, it's this very small piece of technology in a very relatable world. This is not the future. This is the world that we are living in right now. And these robots do exist. Although,
oh, they do.
Yeah, not to this, you know, extent. And, you know, there's a library in the movie that, you know, basically the librarian, it's cut into two halves. One is Susan Sarandon, and the other one is a very old robot that controls everything.
Wow. I'm going to see that one.
Yes.
Now,
yeah,
when does it
really
come
like
out DVD?
This one releases on February 12th on DVD. So, you know, definitely seek out that one.
How about HBO?
I don't know about that one.
Sometime this summer.
Yeah. So number eight, we have, I told you about this one about a month ago, Frankenweenie. Uh-huh. It is my favorite animated film of the year, by far. Charlie Tahan voices a boy who, after unexpectedly losing his beloved dog, harnesses the power of science to bring his best friend back to life. With just a few minor adjustments, he tries to hide his home-sewn creation, but when the dog gets out, the boy learns that getting a new leash on life can be monstrous. This was written and directed by Tim Burton, based on a short that he had made several years ago. Just a very wonderful film, an unconventional, creative, and cordial celebration of cinema that is as rare as lightning striking twice in precisely the same place. While watching this movie, I had this gigantic smile spread across my face from beginning to end. And I think it's like a 90-minute movie. And, I mean, there wasn't a moment during the movie that I, you know, lost that smile. It reminded me of why I loved movies, because there's so many callbacks. It's completely black and white. It's done in that claymation, that, like, Nightmare Before Christmas.
So it's not animated.
Well, it's claymation, so it's animated, but it's clay. So it's like Nightmare Before Christmas and
gotcha.
Corpse Bride. So, but there's so many callbacks to classic cinema, and it just reminded me of why I loved movies.
Wow.
I mean, you can get really nostalgic while watching this movie, even if you're, you know, 5 years old. It might be a little bit scary for five-year-old, so I just want to say that.
So this is your favorite?
Favorite animated movie by far.
Wow.
You know, next one might have been maybe Wreck-It Ralph, and that was way down the list. Definitely, I think that was a four-zine.
How does it compare to Shrek?
Shrek, I liked it better than Shrek.
Aladdin.
That's, like, I can't compare that, but it's I probably liked it more than Aladdin as
well. Wow,
well,
that must be good then. I'll have to catch that one too.
It's a lot of fun. Very, very, very charming movie.
Wow, that's number eight. Well, let's take a quick break and then we'll go through the next seven. Can't wait to hear about this. And we are here. The Magazine, every Thursday from 2 to 4. Greg Isaac, Joseph Ardo.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Greg. Get on the ball. Joseph
Ardo. Yes.
I got to say it first. Wow. Joseph Ardo.
I Ardo.
Oh, good.
I'm not as quick as I once
Ardo.
Was. I was already taking off my headset there.
Yes, so. You were. You weren't attached this time.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back.
Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And that is Greg on the bass and Joseph on the drums. Boy, that is good stuff. You guys are great jazz musicians.
How'd you know I play the drums?
I have ESPN. I mean ESP, of course. And, of course, this is The Magazine every Thursday from 2 to 4 in studio. Greg, Isaac, and Joseph Erdo.
Iardo.
There we go. Now, we just talked about Frankenweenie, right?
Yeah.
Number 8, 5 zines, put a smile on your face. And I think you have a clip on
that. Yeah, sorry, I forgot to play the clip. I got a chance to speak with one of the voice actors. His name is Atticus Schaefer. You might know him from The Middle, the TV show on ABC. He plays Brick.
You mean Malcolm in the Middle?
No, just the middle. The one.
Middle class.
No, just the middle.
Oh, that's a fiscal cliff.
Yeah, but I think he was in Hitchcock, that Will Smith movie, the kid that found him on the bench or whatever. But
oh, yeah.
Anyway, I asked him what he thought about working with Tim Burton. This is what he said.
I absolutely love working with Tim Burton because he's just a creative, outside-of-the-box thinker. And it's just how he does things is fantastic. It's different, but it's not weird different. And he just does things that are groundbreaking, and they are courageous to do. And then once you do them, it's like, wow, that really does work. And also, he takes pride in his work. He knows exactly what he wants as a director. He doesn't make you try to fish for the answer. No, he just tells you, this is what I want, and then me as an actor, I'm able to take that into perspective and put into the role, so I absolutely loved working with him.
Yeah, you might recognize his voice. He's got this really weird voice because on the middle, he's got all these ticks. He goes, whoop, and then he whispers under his voice. And,
oh, wow. It's a unique voice.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Wow, nice. So first of all, number 10, The Impossible. Number 9, Robot and Frank. And then...
8?
Frank and Weenie. Mm-hmm. So there's a connection there. Robot and Frank. Right to Frank and Weenie.
Robot and Frank and Weenie. Yeah.
Wow. And then Pork and Beans. Okay. So, I like that, don't you?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There's Something About Mary. Great movie.
Number 7.
Number 7. Now, this one's one of the a bit stranger ones on my list. But
do you think I've seen it?
I don't think that you've seen it. Here's the thing. I like horror movies, right?
I haven't seen it then.
No, you haven't seen it. This is one of my favorite horror movies in the last decade.
Wow.
Mother's Day.
I did not see that.
It's a remake of a movie from, I believe, the 1980s. Three brothers, played by Patrick Pfluger, Warren Cole, and Matt O'Leary, return to their childhood home, and with little help from their sadistic mother, played by Rebecca De Mornay.
Oh, she's still around?
Yes, she's still
around.
Remember
her, The Hand That Rocked the Cradle?
Yes.
That was scary. Is that a horror movie?
Yes, that is.
I saw it.
Well, then.
That scared me.
Yeah.
But she was cute, though.
Still scared me. Yeah.
Oh, Fatal Attraction. Is that a horror movie?
Yeah, I think it's a thriller.
Then I've seen it.
Yeah.
There you go.
That scared me, though.
She plays the most evil mother you'll ever meet in this movie.
Rebecca De Mornay, yes. Wow.
She terrorizes the new homeowners, Jamie King and Frank Grillo, and their guests, including Sean Ashmore, among a bunch of other people.
Wow.
This is all now available on DVD to rent. If you like horror movies, you will love this movie. If you don't like horror movies, you will love this movie because it is an action-packed movie. I told you about The Collection. I mean, that was my second favorite horror movie of the year. But this is so excellent. It's seriously shocking, spectacularly suspenseful, and utterly unsettling from its creative vision of violence to its constant sense of danger. It's such a violent, bloody, bloody movie, but it's but it's so creative the way it does. I mean, it's not, again, this was directed by the guy that made Saw. So it's got that kind of vision to it, but he also brings more of a conventional horror, you know, more of a thriller. You know, you mentioned a couple movies that are thrillers. Yeah. It kind of melds those two genres. And he did this a while back. A couple months ago, we gave away a DVD for The Barons. He did that in that movie as well. He kind of mixed a monster movie with a psychological thriller. This is a conventional thriller with a, you know, gruesome, over-the-top movie. This is just, you know.
You liked it.
Yes.
Five scenes.
Yes. And it moved me.
I was going to ask you.
Yes. And you might find this strange, but it moved me. And it just excited my senses. It excited.
You felt alive.
I felt alive. Yes. I felt, you know, it's strange when you watch a horror movie and you just feel so, you know,
it's
excited
not like
about
a
this.
Tranquilizer.
No. And it's not sadistic. It's not a sadistic type of
just
of
well
horror.
Done. You appreciate it's, the technical yes, aspects and. The direction, the production.
Yes, very suspenseful, very surprising. You know, it's not you cannot predict what's going to happen in this movie.
Those are the best type of movies where you don't know exactly where it's going.
Absolutely. And I did get a chance to talk with the director, Darren Lynn Boozman. But I unfortunately got rid of the audio on this. So I will tell you a little bit about this. The director here, Darren Lynn Boozman, his favorite Mother's Day memory occurred last year when he showed this movie to his mom. Last year, this is a quote from him, last year on Mother's Day, my mom, Shelley, saw Mother's Day in a sold-out theater in Chicago. That was pretty out there because it is so not a Mother's Day movie. Watching my mom's expression while she was watching the movie was pretty awesome. My mom is my biggest fan. I do not think that I could do any wrong in her eyes. I could film dirt on a plate for a couple hours, and I'm sure that she would still buy 10 copies of the DVD.
Wow.
Yeah, so... I cannot stress it enough. If you love horror movies, you know, and you haven't seen this, you will just go wild.
Number 7.
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty high up. Okay, let's go to number 6.
Number 6. I didn't review this one on Examiner.com or in AZ Weekly because they didn't screen it for critics. It wasn't released here theatrically in Phoenix.
So I probably didn't see it.
You probably didn't see it, but it's available on DVD, and that's how I saw it. They didn't even send me the DVD to review. This is called Detention. Josh Hutcherson plays one of several students who, while simply trying to survive their final year of high school, must race against time to stop a slasher killer that has chosen their campus as his new home of slaughter, which will in turn save the world. Kind of a strange synopsis, right? Not sure what this is. It is a horror movie. It is a comedy. It is a time-traveling weird thing. It is a straightforward slasher movie. This is a teen drama, teen romance. It is every possible genre that you can possibly think of.
Sort of like Twilight?
More weird. I mean, this is the pace on this movie. This is such a fast movie. I think it's like 90 minutes, maybe a little bit less. But there's enough content in this movie for maybe 20 movies.
Wow.
This is the best editing of the year. The way that they put together such a strange puzzle that, I mean, literally there's a flashback and then they flash back again and then they flash back again and then they flash forward.
Wow.
It is, you have never seen anything like this, and just out of pure curiosity alone and creativity alone, this is an amazing movie, definitely a five zener. It's got such a short attention span, and it's so strange and out there that it makes Mars look like your next door neighbor's house.
Wow! And so, what moved you on this one?
It moved me just that it showed me that I can be as creative as this. I can live my life as creative as this movie. I cannot stress enough that this is the weirdest movie that you will ever see.
Wow! So number six.
And I don't know if you saw Cabin in the Woods.
No.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Did you like that?
I did. Yeah.
I didn't. I thought it was okay. I didn't care for it that much. But if you see this movie, I guarantee that will, you will no longer care for Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, okay.
It makes that, it puts that to shame. I mean, it's the same sort of genre-bending, meta type of experience.
Sure, yeah.
Movie and type of a movie and type of a movie, you know.
Right. No, I'll have to check that one out.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Wow, now the number five, the five countdown, getting
number
to
five, yes.
To the best.
The ball is halfway down. Killer Joe. Have you seen this?
No. Oh. Is that like G.I. Joe?
No. Definitely not.
Is it like Mighty Joe Young?
No.
Is it like...
But it does have Matthew McConaughey.
It does.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yes, Matthew McConaughey. And this was definitely my favorite actor of the year.
Oh, wow.
By far. Emil Hirsch plays a young man who finds himself in debt to a drug lord and, with the help of his father, Thomas Hayden Church,
he's
excellent.
Yeah.
Hires a hitman, played by Matthew McConaughey, to murder his mother, whose $50,000 life insurance policy benefits his sister, Juno Temple, beautiful young woman. Gina Gershon also stars as Thomas Hayden Church's, I don't know if she's his wife or his girlfriend. This is now available on DVD. Mm-hmm. It's dark, demented, distressing, and guaranteed to turn you off fried chicken for the foreseeable future.
Wow.
You will not want to eat fried chicken for quite a while after watching this movie, and you'll only know that.
I usually eat grilled chicken at KFC.
I think it might even be enough to turn you off that.
Wow, yeah, so what moved you on this one?
This is, it just moved me that it was so dark and demented and very, I mean, you watch this movie and you feel like you need to take a shower. At least two showers, if not three. It is such a dark, dark movie. This is based on a play, and William Friedkin directed it. I've lost it right now.
A Walk in the Park.
No, a horror movie. Gosh, I can't remember.
Oh, Godzilla.
No.
Mighty Joe Young.
It's just the Exorcist. Sorry.
Yeah, The Exorcist.
I didn't want to say Poltergeist, but it was.
Yeah. I did see Exorcist with the hair.
This is directed by the same
Blair,
guy.
The original What's her Exorcist. Name? The girl Blair.
Linda Blair. Yes.
Wow, her head spinning around.
Yes. Yep. So same director for this movie, and it is just again kind of a really weird movie. And you will definitely want to shower after.
Well, look at this: Impossible, Robot and Frank and Weenie, and then you went to three. Really scary movies. Mother's Day, Detention, Killer Joe.
Yes, this isn't so much scary as it is just, I mean, this is human nature. There are people out there who will absolutely do this. They will kill their own mother so that they can collect an insurance policy. I mean, maybe you don't know them.
No.
But I hope not. But and if you do, I don't know. I question your
We
your
do. We do have
friends.
Them in studio right after. No, just kidding.
Excellent. Well, but now I heard that you got excited when I said Tom Thomas Hayden Church's name.
Yeah. I like. Oh, did you interview
I
him?
I got a chance to talk to Thomas Hayden Church. I was so excited that I
can
got
we
to
get him on. Why? Because my favorite, one of my favorite movies, Greg. You know which one? Which
yes,
is it?
Yes. I can't, the wine one.
Sideways.
Sideways. That's
just,
right.
Did you like?
I
like.
Yes,
it too.
I love.
Very
sideways,
good movie.
Yes.
I was hoping it was up for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that type of movie to win Best Picture.
It should have, though.
But I wanted that because Paul Giamatti, one of my favorite actors.
Yes.
What?
Pig vomit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, of course, Private Parts, Howard Stern.
One of my other favorites.
What a great movie that was. That was fabulous. I just wish.
Yes, it was. Very good. Yeah.
But I liked him in that movie.
Yes. And this is not sideways at all. There's a completely different character.
But
you know,
that's
just
so interesting.
So you know. Yeah.
By the way, Thomas Hayden Church was also in, when he was younger, in Tombstone with Kurt Russell, one of the young cowboys.
Hmm.
I don't know why I said that, but I was amazed. Like, wow, there's Thomas Hayden Church in one of my other favorite movies,
yeah,
which was Tombstone. Val Kilmer, phenomenal performance.
And
am
he
I
was
right?
Also in one of Glenn Quagmire's favorite TV shows, Wings.
It was?
Yeah.
Did you like Tombstone?
It was. I'm not a Western guy, but yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Val Kilmer. Okay,
yeah.
Let's hear this.
Well,
Thomas
Hayden
Church.
Well, so here's Thomas Hayden Church on his character in the movie.
Wow, very cool.
I think that he's a fairly disconnected guy. He's one of those middle-aged men who has grown accustomed to such a kind of insignificant robotic existence that a lot of what might be objectionable, it lands on him in such a way that he doesn't foresee how it might affect his, you know, his happiness or his contentment one way, you know, significantly in one direction or another. I think that the character, he forgets whatever, you know, he drinks, he gets high, he lives in, you know, just this incredible squalor. A guy like that, his priorities or lack of priorities, lack of a value system, it's very difficult to understand for anyone because of the things that he sort of passively lets happen in his life. You know what I mean? It's like these really heinous acts of passivity are what define him in a certain way as an evil guy. But he's sort of too stupid or checked out to know how sort of heinous his behavior is.
I was so excited interviewing him because he's got one of those voices that you recognize.
Yeah. Very unique.
I mean, just like Atticus Schaefer, you know, if you watch The Middle, I mean, you're so excited because you get a chance to talk to this character. I mean, this is a guy, I mean...
That's just, very cool.
You mentioned a lot of his movies, and I mean, he was in
and
one of the Spider-Mans.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And underrated actor, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think, especially that Sideways movie, that was just,
And best ensemble of the year, I will say that, for Killer Joe. You know,
interesting.
Thomas Hayden Church does an excellent job. McConaughey, definitely the you will not look at Matthew McConaughey the same way again, even if you have seen Magic
Can that
Mike.
Be up for any awards this year?
I don't think so, because I think it's a little bit too dark.
Okay, that's why, yeah. All right, number
now, this one's a little bit disturbing, too. Number four is a little disturbing, too. I went off on a disturbing kick before we go on the back up kick of inspiring movies. Compliance. This is a very small movie.
Hmm.
Dreama Walker plays a counter girl at a fast food restaurant who, after being accused of stealing money from a customer's purse by calling by a caller who identifies himself as a police officer, is detained and strip-searched by her boss, played by Ann Dowd. This is based on a true incident.
Oh.
Man calls a restaurant, I believe it was a McDonald's, and said, you know, I'm a police officer, someone stole a purse, and I need you to strip search your employee.
Hmm.
So they do that. They basically an act of authority, you know. Mm-hmm. Is the guy on the other end a police officer?
Are you
officer?
Allowed to do that?
No. Absolutely not.
Oh, I didn't
and
think
so. And so don't look up the after seeing this movie, you will absolutely want to read the entire story of how this, you know, played out in real life.
Wow.
This is not a dramatic movie in the way of a fictional. This is very true and to the point of what happened.
So it's a true story.
It's a true story. It's not a documentary, but it kind of plays like that. It is so creepy. It's deeply disturbing, leaving you both emotionally and intellectually shaken. If this is not the stuff of nightmares, then nothing is. So this is kind of a horror movie. not your conventional horror movie, but this is like a real life horror
but
story.
It happened, so it's interesting to know.
Yes, very interesting to know. Wow. And Ann Dowd, my favorite supporting actress of the year. Dreama Walker, second favorite supporting actress of the year. She's in Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. Very beautiful girl. Get her on the show. I want to date with her and Amanda Seyfried.
Oh, no doubt.
They can duke it out.
Give me the numbers and I'll call.
So, but yeah, very, very disturbing.
What moved
movie.
You on this one?
Just that it was a true story and just that you can be, this was a horror movie without being, you know, there was no killer. It was a real horror movie. That's what moved me.
Just got to watch out for a real-life situation.
Well, yes. Real-life type of thing. Yeah,
yeah, that's interesting.
Is this on DVD yet?
This is releasing January 8th, so you got about a week to wait. But I would definitely rush out and rent this from Redbox if they have it. You will not be the same after watching this. Now, number three. Let's go a little bit inspiring since we got all the dark stuff out of the way.
Oh, good.
Safety Not Guaranteed. This is also based on a true story. Three magazine employees, Aubrey Plaza, Jake Johnson, and Karan Soni, head out on an assignment to interview a guy, played by Mark Duplass, who placed a classified ad seeking a companion for time travel. The comedy was inspired by a real classified ad. It was shown on Jay Leno's headlines. You know how he shows the headlines on Monday night? He showed one of these headlines that said, I forget the exact, if you wanted to look it up, Greg, the ad that inspired this. It's on the poster for the movie. About a guy who wants to wants a companion to time travel with him in his time machine. But this is a real ad that was placed. And, if you want to read it.
Oh, okay. The ad says, wanted someone to go back in time with me. This is not a joke. You'll get paid after we get back. Must bring your own weapons. I have only done this once before. Safety not guaranteed.
I saw that.
You saw this movie?
But it must not have left a big impression. I remember... Yeah, it was this girl, and then that's about all I remember. She is like in the hidden woods, and who was the guy that played?
Mark Duplass is the guy.
And he had all these.
It was in the woods. Yeah, I guess it didn't
leave a big impression.
Okay, well, for me, this is the epitome of a small movie with a big idea and an even bigger heart. It gave me, and I don't want you to spoil the end of the movie.
That's why I won't say
it gave me a reason, a very, very valid reason to believe in fairy tales.
I gotcha, and I agree with you there. Wow, that's interesting. I did see that one.
And Jake Johnson, who played Jeff, played the principal in perhaps my favorite movie of 2012, 21 Jump Street.
Oh, that's in my top 20. I gave that 5.
Uh-huh. Okay, nice.
Yeah. Wow.
So Jonah Hill there, too.
Oh, I love Jonah Hill, yeah.
So, definitely, I believe in fairy tales after seeing this movie. And,
nice.
You will definitely want to see this movie, even if it didn't leave a lasting impression on you.
Yeah,
right?
it not much. The ending sort of did.
Now, the thing is with Dave, and maybe this was the case with The Watch last night with me, because I was sort of tired when I saw it, and I thought there were some great jokes, but in general, for some reason, I wasn't into it as much as I would have thought. Sometimes when he might see a movie tired, like with the Pirates of the Caribbean, so you won't like it, then you'll see it again. And you're like, oh, well, I missed
that's
out.
That's what it was.
So I think you got to see this one again.
Well, I would agree.
It's strange
agree.
With this one is that I went home, I wrote my review for AZ Weekly, I sent it in, and I gave it 4 zines. And then the next day, I thought about it. I said, you know what? I got to change that to 5.
Wow.
Because it really left lasting, you know, that end of the movie. It is a really excellent movie all throughout. But, you know, just it's something that kind of like grew on me, the lasting impression.
Wasn't she like in a grocery store? She worked.
She was. He worked in a grocery store, and she's placing cans up in one scene. Yeah, it's.
Yeah. Wow.
But Mark Duplass, I think he's just a very talented guy. He's
very good.
One
yes.
of my favorite actors of the year.
Wow, number two. We're
number
getting down.
Number two. Now you.
Have I seen this one?
You have.
Good. Which is it?
I was a little disappointed that you didn't. Think Life of Pi was one of the best movies of the
year.
Life of Pi was on my Christmas card. I gave you the Christmas card.
You did.
Every year I do this Christmas card. I pick one of my favorite movies and I dress up as, I put my Santa Claus suit on, which is kind of like an homage to Mixed Nuts, like the guy in there.
Yeah. But it could change. Like you changed this last one.
Yeah, if you,
it may go to a 5 zine. Right. It was in between 3 and 4. And I think I need to see it again because I was looking for the deeper meaning, and I know it's there.
This one kind of grew on me, too, because I was a little bit disappointed in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
I felt that it was a little bit of a slow build. I couldn't wait for them to get on the
raft. And I saw it different. I thought it was a fast build.
Okay.
Isn't that weird?
And because there's a lot of story in the beginning, so I could see that as well. But I just wanted to see them get on that raft. Again, this is the young man who survives a disaster at sea and is hurtled into an epic journey of adventure and discovery. While cast away, he forms an amazing and unexpected connection with another survivor, a fearsome Bengal tiger. Yeah. It takes now this is now in theaters. Again, Safety Not Guaranteed, by the way, is also now on DVD.
Good.
So this takes viewers on a majestic journey that is breathtakingly beautiful, extremely exotic, and incredibly immersive. It may forever change you. It did me.
Okay. How did it change you?
It just it changed my view on faith.
It gave you hope.
It gave me hope. It changed my view on some of the biblical stories, on some of the Christian stories.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil that.
But I could see that. I think. And I could see why it could be five zines. I'm going to see it again, and I bet I change it to five zines because of I like deep meaning movies. This one certainly had it, and maybe I was a little tired, but I could see the potential.
Yeah, the message at the end kind of bothered me at first because it was a different way of thinking about faith and religion.
Exactly.
And but it really it makes you think about faith.
Yes.
You know, usually faith is just something that you feel. This movie makes you really think about it. And it makes it make sense.
I like it. Yeah. Well, you're convincing me.
Yeah.
Hey, this is good. Wow. So, and a drum roll, Tommy, for the number one movie of 2012, according to Joseph Ardo. Well,
I Ardo.
And here we go.
When you point that finger.
Jeff, who lives at home.
Really?
Jeff, who lives... Did you see
it? I did. I liked it.
You liked it? Okay.
In my opinion, not top five, but good. Well, I love Jason Segel.
Jason Segel is excellent.
I
Ed
saw
Helms
that one,
you
too.
Did. Well, I will talk about that
he
in a
second.
He had
the brother?
Yes, he has the brother. Jason Segel plays a slacker who dispatched from his basement room on an errand for his mother, Susan Sarandon, again, discovers his destiny when he spends the day with his brother, Ed Helms, as he tracks his possibly adulterous wife, Judy Greer.
Yes,
beautiful
right.
Judy Greer. Yes.
Oh, no doubt.
Then we're going to get in the studio, and then we're going to have a three-fight to date me. It's goofy, hopeful, honest, intimate, whimsical, funny, poignant, sweet, smart, and spiritual. This is the kind of movie that makes you feel fantastic to be alive. I'm one of these guys who really believes in serendipity, believes in fate, believes in, you know, everything happens for a reason.
And that's what that was about.
That was what that entire movie was about. It kind of, you know, you've got Life of Pi, which is this grand movie, and then you got this smaller movie.
Yeah.
They both have a similar, you know, both have this strong message. But, you know, one's a little bit bigger. This just does it with much more simplicity.
Yeah.
And more reality. It is a very real and relatable movie. It is directed, again, by written and directed by Jay and Mark Duplass. I got a chance to talk to them. Writers, directors, Mark and Jay Duplass write about characters that they are intensely in love with and happen to have big flaws. He explained, Mark Duplass explained, that when you really love a flawed person, you feel like you love them more deeply than anyone else. This is in real life, and this is why he writes about these characters. So this is a quote from him. They are people who we find society might make a quick judgment on. Take Jeff from Jeff Who Lives at Home. Society could look at him like a little stoner who is stuck in life, but we see him as this guy who has grand ideals and a great destiny ahead of him and that he's waiting for. I think that is just a question of the filmmakers themselves loving the characters, and then the heart comes out of that.
Wow, so that is incredible, the top 10.
Yes.
And that was remarkable. I've seen two out of the 10.
Yeah, well, you could see the rest, right?
No, three out of the 10, Safety Not Guaranteed 2. Wait, did I see that one?
Safety Not Guaranteed, you saw?
I think I've just seen Jeff Who Lives at Home, I believe.
Yeah, I saw the same. Was that the one with... what was that?
Which
one?
Safety Net Guaranteed you saw? And Jeff.
I saw the last three, actually.
Yeah.
And you want to see The Impossible soon?
Yeah, definitely going to see that. Yeah. And
you're gonna rent Detention and Mother's Day
and
Killer
Jelly
and
Rebecca.
Clients.
I want to see Rebecca.
Definitely Mother's Day.
Yeah, there you go. So, Mother's Day. I think Mother's Day might even be on the cable by now, like Showtime or something
Probably, yeah. So. And Jeff Who Lives at Home is also now on DVD. So if you haven't, if you didn't get a chance to see that in the theaters, definitely.
Can you believe
go
it?
See
this
that.
This hour went by like ridiculously fast.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So how do they, Joseph? How do they read all your great stuff?
Go to newsstands throughout the valley, AZ Weekly, Entertainment Magazine, or go to Examiner.com and type in my name.
Or BreakRadioShow.com.
Yes.
Am I right?
There you go.
We'll see you next Thursday.
Arizona
I think we're
Station.
Off there. 10, 10. That's not our music. Anyway, we'll see you next Thursday. Have a good New Year's.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Hershberger Assisted Living Home for the Elderly. Whether it's a need to recuperate after surgery or just need daily assistance to enrich their life, you can trust that your loved one is being well cared for. Our caregivers are fully licensed by the Arizona Department of Health. An experienced team of professionals provide expert medical care, including physical, occupational, and recreational therapy, wound care, medication management, nutritional support, and personal care. All faiths are welcome. Hershberger Assisted Living Home, founded in 1997, will provide your loved ones a quality of life with loving care. Call Shirley Hershberger today at 602-314-6937. That's 602-314-6937, or visit the website ahomewithshirley.com. Hershberger Assisted Living, home is where the heart is.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
understanding autism.